I still can't believe you do it every fucking Tuesday night.
Yeah, I like, still do.
And like, I'm, I know, it's just like, I think about it, I'm like, that's every week, that's every Tuesday, and you know, anyways, I'm just like, it's a giant number. So how do you, it doesn't feel like work?
No, it still doesn't feel like work to me. Like, it just, it's, I've never gotten to the point. So maybe once, we went through a period where a few of my co-hosts left, they got burnt out, like Podburn, and you know, the pop culture, like Marvel and DC and stars, it's really taken a hit, I would say, in like especially at the latter part of the pandemic into the last couple of years, where quantity was favored over quality, and a lot of my buddies that were really into it really felt the impact of that and just got burnt out by it. Burnt out by the pandemic, burnt out by getting behind the microphone every Tuesday. And so there's one point where I said, okay, is this a sign that this is the end of it? Like, should I just sign off here, walk away into the sunset? We're at like episode 350. I was like, maybe this is a sign. It's kind of a weird even number. I'm sure I could work backwards, like why 3 and 5 are important or something like that in my life. But so I remember I created a few single episodes where I did some like heavily like edited and researched type podcasts, like solo podcasts. And then I made a decision, no, I'm going to continue, even if it's just by myself. Because I can't relinquish this passion, because I think it will leave too big of a void for me. I think I would have the inverse effect, where maybe some people would see it as like you're releasing a burden. I would say that I am taking something away from me that helps me mentally, physically, and also gives me this spark that I need kind of every week to get energized for the back half. I think I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. Like, it might be weird to say that, but I think I go through like a mental reset every Tuesday night. And then a buddy of mine that I met online, never met him in person, lives in Japan. He jumped on a couple of times and I said, okay, let's do this. And so he's my co-host now. And so we just do it every Tuesday when he's able to. And when he's not, I'll ask a friend or I'll just do it my own. But I have a hard time missing. Like, it's just part of me now. And it's going to be a bigger part.
perfect segue. So you're hammering this thing for a decade and run me through the idea of doing what you did.
So
you can explain what you did first if you want.
So I guess we're going to get into Pod Summit here, which is, it's a new company that my wife and I own.
P.S. is the one people see me posting about all the time. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Jeff's a big part of this.
Here's some context for you.
So it's for lack of a better term, it's a podcast conference company. And what we want to do is we want to put on podcast events here in Canada specifically, trying to reframe the Canadian podcast industry and communities, but also giving them a collaborative focal point. So every industry on planet Earth benefits from people coming together to talk about common problems, talk about successes, and celebrate a little bit. And that's what we want to do for Canadian podcasting, because Canadian podcasting is the poor little brother of American podcasting. We got to get lumped into it all. And so one of the things that we wanted to explore is there a voice here in Canada, and how do we amplify that voice? And we think doing it through an event in a space where there is very little of that in Canada. There's been pockets of it. There's a little bit of it in Toronto, but there's no like Canadian scaled event that has the ability to grow and grow and grow, that is put on, that has the mission of bringing together the communities, the podcasters, the creators, the storytellers, and brings together the industry, the business side of it as well. And so we're trying to explore how to do that effectively. But this company kind of emerged out of, again, this just making whim decisions, where one day there's a Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo. So it's like the Comic-Con for Calgary. And they're in Toronto. They're all over the place. And so last year around this time, or kind of in January, I reached out to them because my old co-host wife said to me, it'd be really cool if you guys were like on stage and did a live show at the expo. And I said, you know what? We should have done this years ago. I used to volunteer there and all that. And so I reached out to them. I said, hey, are you in a podcast stage? I'd love to help out. I'll volunteer my time and do whatever. And they said, we're not really doing it. And I said, well, let me send you a proposal. And so I sent them a proposal. They really liked it and said, all right, carte blanche, go ahead. No budget, but go ahead and find people and make the stage. And I said, okay, cool. And so I reached out to a few people that I knew and got some contacts, and I ended up intersecting with this guy, Ernest Barbaric, who used to own Pod Summit. And that was a conference. It was dubbed the first Western Canadian conference, podcast conference in Canada. And that ran in 17, 18, and 19, kind of closed out. I went to the 2019 version of it down at Fort Calgary. Really cool experience. Got to meet podcasters. And it was a lot of fun to learn about a passion. And it was kind of that first little spark. And so during the pandemic, it didn't run, of course, and he kind of fell out of love with it, moved on from Calgary, and I reached out to him. I'd known him a little bit from that 2019 iteration of it, and I said, this is what I'm doing at the expo. Do you have like any contacts, anyone that I could pull up on stage? Because what I was trying to do, instead of doing just pure live shows, I wanted to introduce a bit more of an educational component to it, which kind of serves as the foundation a bit for what we're doing at Pod Summit. Yep. Where, and this is where Jeff and I intersect. I found the Calgary sessions randomly on YouTube, and I was like, what is this? What is this production value and quality doing in Calgary? Like, I didn't even know this exists. You might have been like, I don't know, I guess you would have been probably episode 60, maybe, somewhere in there, 60, 70. And so I reached out to Jeff and a few others, and I said, I'm putting this thing together. And everyone was like, yup. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I asked four people to be on stage and all four people said yes.
Strangers.
I was it's just, cold call. Like, I'd gotten the contacts from Ernest here. And I was really surprised at that because I thought it was like, okay, if I can contact 10 people, I might get three people that I can yank up on stage. Again, no budget, don't know anyone, no one knows who I am. I'm asking you to come up on podcasts a bit about random stuff at the Calgary Comic Entertainment Expo. Like, small room. I was like, no one's going to say yes. This is going to be whatever. Everyone says yes. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I start looking, doing a live podcast component, and I start reaching out. Everyone says yes. I'm like, okay. So there's a little bit of energy here, a little bit of momentum. And I started thinking a little bit more. Okay, let's. And then inside of that, Ernest, who used to own Pod Summit, said to me, look, I've moved on from it. If you're at all interested in this, let me know. And I immediately spun my chair around after having that conversation and looked at my wife and I said, we should buy this. Another spontaneous decision. But like, after we had this conversation, I realized a bit more, maybe I am a bit more spontaneous than I realized.
But there's also so many experiences that led you to that quick decision, right?
When I think I had enough knowledge inside of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd planned conferences at work over the pandemic, really enjoyed it, worked with keynote speakers. And then when I did this and I got the energy from people, and then I thought, I did some Googling, something like this doesn't really exist in Canada. I said, this might be an opportunity to start a business. And like, again, never on my radar. And we turned around, we just talked price, and it worked for both of us, what we wanted out of it. And pulled the trigger, like finished the expo at the end of April, and we had bought and incorporated Pod Summit by June 15th. and then launched into trying to find a venue was the first thing we did. And my wife, luckily, she is an event planner by background. So she worked on Oxford Stomp, Stampede Roundup for years, those big outdoor concerts here in Calgary. She does planning now. Coming back to work after, not at the same scale, but coming back to work after kids and all that. And so she's wired for this. And it just felt like a really cool intersection where I was like, okay, I'm taking a passion, something that I carry some knowledge in, and she's bringing this execution piece of it all. And it just kind of worked. Mm-hmm. It made sense. Mm-hmm. And the price was right. And we just kind of went for it. Like, not really knowing what was going to shake out of it, but knowing where we kind of wanted to go with it. And it's happened very, very fast. And here we are, we're doing the grand here in September 20th through 21st of this year. And it just, like, we're, like I said, like a year out from when you and I first met, had that, if you remember, let me see if you remember this. Do you remember that conversation?
That Zoom call?
Well, there's a Zoom call, but then we did the interview at the expo.
Oh, I remember that clearly.
So yeah, we did that. And then I remember when I got off the stage, you and I were chatting and I said, I have an idea I want to throw your way. Let's connect in a few weeks. Mm. And it was right then and there. And I was like at that same vibration that I was like, yes. Like after you and I had that conversation, I was like, yes. Because I think the one thing that you did for me amongst all the many things is you're the first person that looked at me and said, you've been podcasting for 10 years. You have an unbelievable amount of knowledge. And I just always looked at it as like, it was just like a hobby this knowledge.
Weird
like,
thing, right?
Yeah. Like, does anyone care that I know mm-hmm. like this, and this about Star Wars? Not really. Can I use that for, you know, maybe in a trivia night? Mm-hmm. But this knowledge in podcasting that I thought was, I equated it to having knowledge in a Marvel movie or mm-hmm. Star Wars. And you kind of said, no, I'm like, this is something that is actually useful and something yeah. that is, not a lot of people hold this type of knowledge.
Yeah. There's value.
And exactly. And so it has been through the ebbs and flows of it. And so that gave me a lot of encouragement saying like, okay, maybe this is something mm-hmm. that I can translate into this like long, like desire to do something entrepreneurial that's been buried in me yeah. since I was like 5 years old when my parents started doing it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gave me the confidence. I said, okay, well, I have something, I have this job that I love and I can still do, and we can do this on the side.
Yep.
It's time consuming, but I found a way to, again, fit it into mm-hmm. the like large profile of the individual that yep. I've become
yeah.
And really love doing it. Like it's been such an awakening for me being on the entrepreneurial side of things, but also the networking and the talking and the ability to express myself creatively and test and try new and different things
yep.
that I just didn't have access to before.
Yep.
Like I had kind of ticked a lot of those boxes in life, and this was one that was not even, it wasn't something I was looking for, but yep. once I found it, I was like, this is providing me an immense amount of personal value.
You and I have talked about this a lot, but like that being reflective and looking back,
mm-hmm.
like this doesn't happen. You know, to go back to the start of this conversation when I was on you to like lay the foundation for this, you know, your passion for like pop culture.
Yeah.
Because explain to me how you think about that now. Because all these random things you've done mm-hmm. over all these years have led to this moment in time where now you and your wife own this business that's going to bring a voice to podcasting in Canada.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen just like, you don't roll out of bed one day and be like, I think I'm going to buy this yeah. and try it.
Yeah, the spontaneity of like as a theme inside of this conversation is I think it's very much I think rooted and underpinned by a lot of thoughtful planning mm-hmm. and a lot of commitment to things. Like 10 years of this, 10 years of landscaping, yep. you know, yep. going to school, all this kind of stuff. And it's one of those things when I look back on all of those decisions that there's a lot more intersection points than I was very much aware of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's come to some of those conversations are coming out of you and I discussing, and some of them, like, if you know who Simon Sinek is, yep. like find your why. I yep. did all of that stuff too mm-hmm. and went back and, you know, there's the one really cool, I think it's in Find Your Why, where you draw a line and you draw through your life, all these, the highs and lows of your life. And you can kind of measure your life through the highs and lows and look back on the things that influenced you in particular ways. And even in through doing all that in the last 2 years, like I've charted my way through all of this. And, you know, going back to that Pleasantville, like mm-hmm. that path, like it's all like everything has, I think, been super methodical.
Yep.
And the bearing of the fruits comes later in life. And I think when I sometimes see those, or at least when I was seeing those fruits come to bear, I chalked it up to luck, or yep. I chalked it up to, you know, being in the right place in the right time. And looking back on it all in the last year and a half, you know, I kind of have this perception now with luck is that you kind of make it. Like you can't win the lottery without buying a lottery ticket. Mm. So you have to take some initiative.
Yep.
You have to put some effort into making your own luck, making a career, making a family, making a business and all this stuff. And so when I look back on it, it's hundreds of small decisions, maybe thousands of small decisions that's led me to the one big decision that I look back on and say, oh, that was a spontaneous decision, mm-hmm. like to go to university, to come out here, to buy Pod Summit, to do all the stuff. But I think it's in the little decisions and it's in the little tweaks.
Yeah.
It's in the, like, I love like Atomic Habits, that book is awesome too, where it's the little things that kind of make the big difference. But all people see is the big thing at the end.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the highlight.
Yeah.
No, we always see the highlight.
Yeah.
Which is like this reoccurring theme on this show. It's, I'm always like, I love it because it gives people context for how things are actually happening. Mm-hmm. And I think those are conversations that aren't being had very often.
No.
They always see that Instagram post of like, here's my Lambo or whatever, yeah. You know, whatever it is. Like,
hope that happens.
Here's my summit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think it's really important to this story specifically that there's like this, just this, like all these experiences and decades to actually pull this thing off, which I find fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's one of those things that it scares me, if I'm going to be honest with you, yeah, doing all this stuff. And like, there's just so many moving pieces, so many moving parts, but I've been kind of taking each day and learning something new from it.
You're clinical with it. I'm afraid for you, but like the way you're approaching is very clinical, which is something that I don't have it in me to, you know, you're very methodical of how you're approaching this, which it's fascinating to watch from the outside.
Yeah. I only hope that it comes off on the, I think like, and I do have a lot of confidence that we'll be able to pull this one off. No problem.
Yep.
In the sense that like, of course we're going to make mistakes. And of course we're going to look back and say, oh, I wish we had done X, Y, and Z. And I wish that we had tweaked this piece of it, but I'd say this one is just about getting the first one under us. And then we want to scale. Like we have lots of ideas going forward, and some of it is limited by budget. Some of it is limited by time, and some of it is limited by the fact that we still don't really know our audience. Like we have a good idea where people are coming from, but because nothing like this has, we did through a couple of businesses, a competitor analysis, and we did a business plan analysis and all this. And they're saying, who's your competitor?
Yeah.
Doesn't really exist in Canada. There's a couple little smaller things that are bolted onto the side of other larger conferences and that. And then you go down to the States, it's Podcast Move and all that. But like the scale of those are like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And here we are trying to squeak our way into something that I think is going to be much more intimate.
Yep.
And I think there's an importance to that intimacy with what we're doing with Pod Summit and setting a tone and a vibe that's going to make things feel different. Like I was, you know, your episode with Graham Edge and the idea of disruption and all that and what he's doing with energy disruptors and everything, that had a profound effect on me because I love that word disruption. Is we don't want to be satisfied with the status quo. And that was a theme through my whole life. It's just like, nope, I'm not going to be satisfied with the status quo. Let's pull the trigger on this. Let's do something a little bit different and let's make an impact, leave a bit of a legacy on this stuff. And I have this kind of philosophy that I love living with is leave it better than you found it. I approach almost everything with that. When I walk into my kitchen, you know, you wash one dish, put it away, do whatever, move one thing over, stack one thing up. You've made that better. Like it's scalable. Yeah. And we want to put a bit of an imprint on Canadian podcasting in particular, because there's a ton of great creators out there. There's a ton of people that are very passionate that have voices that aren't being heard. We need to find a way to amplify that and also make it, I think, an industry out of all this, a robust industry where people don't have issues with discoverability, don't have issues with if they want to monetize, at least that there's outlets and avenues to doing some of that. And I don't think the typical models work anymore, but I think that there's ways to at least start to explore and discover that. We're not going to get the answers, and Pod Summit isn't about giving the answers. It's about facilitating the conversations and pulling groups together so that we can have those conversations and set tones, set the future path for podcasting in Canada. And because I've been in it for a while, I have this like deep-rooted passion to see it succeed and put everything I have into making it something special.